We're reading in 1 Corinthians about that little phrase I want to draw out of verse 23. It says, for the gospel's sake. The next verse after that, for the gospel's sake, verse 23, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And I don't know about you, I've been the last few weeks thinking about the people in our church because I've had your pictures in front of me almost continuously, either that or your grandkids or somebody else from your family in the directory and the grandkids' pictures. And I thought a lot about this verse, and I thought about the opportunities that I have. I know once a month I get to do this to preach in Sunday night church to the congregation as a church. But most of the time I'm speaking to the children in junior church or the kids that come to Awana. And again, we've already mentioned that God has blessed that organization. You know, God has blessed the name and the people that come and work and the organization part of it. But I'm glad I get to be a part of that. And then, of course, Sunday school. So most of my time is spent with younger people. And as I get older and spend more time with the people that seem to be getting younger and younger, and as this week, as I looked at many pictures of grandkids and pictures of families in our church, I thought about that phrase, for the gospel's sake. And Paul was talking about becoming all things to all men, and he wasn't talking about sin or changing what he believed. But that whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 9, is talking about self-denial, things that he was willing to go without, that he had liberty, but he chose to go without, and he chose because of his passion for the gospel. Because he said, it's more important for the gospel's sake. I don't need this other stuff. I don't need the wealth or the security, or I don't need all the things that other people say they need, because for the gospel's sake, I'm willing to give that up. I'm willing to be temperate. I'm willing to be self-controlled or deny to myself. And he talked about a runner in a race. He was probably referring to like an Olympic sporting event, some kind of race. And he talked about runners in a race, and they were running for a goal, a crown that was going to wear away, rust away, fall apart. It might have been a wreath that they just put on their head and said, this guy's the winner. And he said, if they run with that much certainty, if they strive for the mastery with that much heart and passion, then how much more, for the gospel's sake, should we as Christians strive for the gospel, strive for the prize that he talked about? And he used that as a picture. And the word he used in verse 27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. When it says I keep under my body, the word there is only used one other verse in the Bible in Luke 18, and it's used as weary, or it's a word that talks about hurting something. It actually talks about giving a black eye, something that a mark that shows up in your body where you are weary. And I know many of you, when you get tired, you'll talk to somebody and say, I can tell you're tired because of the way that you look underneath your eyes. And Paul was talking about subjecting himself, keeping under his body, and being weary for the gospel's sake. And again, I thought about my own family, I thought about many of your families, and I thought, for the gospel's sake, what would I deny myself? What would I become all things to all men? What would I be willing to do for the gospel's sake? And hopefully, tonight I want to just challenge you, hopefully I want to remind you of something that's already been talked about in the testimonies, in the songs, and each part that we've already experienced in the service tonight. And again, I don't look at the sermon as separate from everything else. Usually I'm saying amen, amen, amen to what you guys said. So that's how it's going to go tonight. And I was thinking about the passion that we should have, the ability to focus our energies on what really matters, the ability to overcome the day-to-day, small, trivial, insignificant things that will pass away, those corruptible things that will pass away, and press toward the mark and subject ourselves to what we need to change be willing to change so we can, for the gospel's sake, make a difference in this world. Make a difference right now before it's too late, before the people that do need the Lord in their life no longer have that opportunity. And it's deciding where you want to spend your time, and it's deciding how you want to spend your passion. And it's not just the outward appearance. Brother Pete said he was glad I wasn't wearing all black tonight. I wore comfortable pants tonight. But that the way that we look, the clothes that we decide to wear, the things that we worry about, the things that we spend most of our time worrying about. Jesus mentioned the outside, our outer appearance when he was rebuking the Pharisees in Matthew 23. He said, the outside's clean, but the inside's not. You know, you're like a whited sepulcher. And the outside looks great, but the inside is what I'm concerned about. And Jesus did not beat around the bush. He wasn't politically correct. He said, this is what needs to change. You're focused too much on the outer appearance. And you're not focused on the heart. You're not focused on the passion, on what you'd be willing to give. And instead, you're worried about what other people think about you. A quote I put down, be master of your petty annoyances and conserve your energies for the big, worthwhile things. It isn't the mountain ahead that wears you out, it's the grain of sand in your shoe. And what I'm talking about tonight is the little things, Pastor would say the ankle biters, the little things that can try you and hurt you, and you forget why you're in the race. You forget the gospel for the sake of the gospel. You forget that. I apologize for squeaking. But you forget why you're in the race. You forget the incorruptible crown that you're working toward, and you let some of the little things attack you, and you forget why you're there. And the Pharisees did this when they worried about the outward appearance. These are people that knew the Bible. These are people that could quote more of the Bible than I can. These are people that obeyed the law, but they got so concerned with the outside appearance that they no longer looked for people that needed God. They just saw people that didn't look like them. They just saw people that weren't as obedient to the law as them. And if we're not careful, we'll end up in that same boat. I was thinking about my own life. My parents were a great example of this to me about channeling your energy. I remember one time Dad and I went to the gas station, and he, you know, got out of the car to pump the gas, and I think then he had to go inside and pay for the gas. And for some reason, I thought, well, I'm going to get out of the car too. I want to come and see what's going on. And I got out of the car, locked the door, came to the gas station, and Dad said, why are you in here? And I said, well, don't worry, I locked the car. And he said, well, my keys are in the car. But I remember in that moment that he taught me something about self-control. He taught me something about not reacting and saying, well, this is still not the end of the world. If it was me, I would have not reacted that way. And once I found out what I did, I was preparing for the worst, but he chose not to give it to me. Many times I think about my mother. She was the same way. There were plenty of times, both in both cases, everybody can think of examples of your own parents where they taught you how to react and how maybe not to react the best in every situation. But I remember one time I got mad at my sister. She was always making me late for school, and I got really angry. I didn't understand how drywall works. I thought it was just a solid wall. So I got really angry. I kicked the wall really hard, and my foot went through the wall. And I came out and told Mom what happened, and she kept it together, and she was calm. And she said, well, right now we have to get to school. We'll worry about that later. And she showed a lot of self-control. And I realized that now, for the sake of Adam, for Adam's sake, you know, there could have been a great outpouring of passion and anger in those situations. But because of the testimony, for the sake of the child that should have known better that did not, they decided to reserve their passion for the things that really mattered. And there were other times where I needed passion. I needed correction, and I needed anger, and I received it. And I needed it in some situations, and God gave me parents that knew the difference. And I'm sure in many of your lives, whether you had the best parents or you had human beings as parents, as we all did, that they were still able to teach you about using your passion and using it for God. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul told us about the things that we think about. And again, I'll just read for you the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Many times we are worried about the outward appearance. We're worried about the way that we look or the way that we smell, and we don't think about the way that we think. But our thinking can be smelly. The way that we think can, the dead flies can bring forth a stinking savor. And the way that we think, the way that we look at situations can sour our attitude, the way that we look at people. And first, is we judge them on how they look. Second, we judge them on who they're hanging out with. We judge them by the music they listen to. We judge them by their bumper stickers. We'll look at 15 or 20 things, and we'll judge them based on that. And we'll never stop and think, I wonder if their eternal soul is headed for hell or headed for heaven. That doesn't come on the top 10 of our list, on our radar. And we miss out. We miss out on the opportunities that many of you testified about tonight to say, you know what, I'm never going to answer number one, number two. I might not change who they're hanging out with. I may not change the state of their home. I may not change who God gave them as family, as parents, and who they love. I might not change all those things, but for the sake of eternity, for the gospel's sake, I need to be concerned with if they're headed for heaven or headed for hell. In Psalm 119, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And that word offend talks about getting off track. Not saying that things aren't going to happen, because we're all human beings. Talked about it last month. We're all human. We all have our opinions. And we all have what we say is based on the Word of God. But even then, we have disagreements on how we interpret the Word of God. But there still should be a peace that comes. That Kelly's saying about the peace that comes from God. That nothing gets us off track. That nothing is worth, for the gospel's sake, nothing is worth giving up. And in the text that we read, when the Apostle Paul said, lest I myself be a castaway. Paul said, it's possible that you could listen to me preach and follow what I said from the Word of God, and that I myself could stumble, because I myself could forget and lose focus and send my passion on the wrong avenue, and I myself could be a castaway. I myself could become the bad example, because I didn't listen to my own preaching, Apostle Paul says. And in our life, there's a daily battle. There's a daily struggle to do what is right. It does not always come naturally, because we have a nature within us that fights us. Apostle Paul talked about the good that he wanted to do. There is a struggle that Paul had as a Christian, that we have as Christians, to not let our thinking spoil, to not let our attitude sour, to not let our perception of other people turn into, well, there, I can't help them. I don't have anything that can help them. Well, you're right. You can't help them, but the truth of Jesus Christ can. The gospel can help them. I appreciate what Helen said about, and Brother Jeff, working down at the mission. You know, you might have things that discourage you that happen, the people that you deal with, but choose to let them be an encouragement. Choose to think about the people that did receive the message. Choose to think about the people that did have a good attitude about the help that you're trying to give them. And there's so many things we could spend our energy on. There's so many things we could expel all our passion on. And if we're not careful, we won't use it for the gospel. We'll use it for the outward appearance. We'll use it with our own opinions and our own thinking. And we'll waste it on temporal, corruptible things. The Bible says in 1 Peter, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And the more we think about the reward, not of just so much that crown of glory, but the chief shepherd, the reward of being with Jesus. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In due time. And I was thinking about that this whole last week, the time that God has chosen to use me. And every stage of my life, I always thought, I don't think God would ever use me as much as he is using me right now. What Brother Jeff talked about, he was a real encouragement to me earlier in the week to kind of get my mind back on track, to remind me of what we're supposed to be all about. But I needed somebody else to knock me back in line. But every time I think about it, I think, I never imagined that God would allow me to speak to this many people at one time. I never imagined that God would get to choose to let me speak to kids two or three times every week and just sit down and say, this is what God's word says. This is where I've come short, and this is where we need to focus our minds for a few moments. I never thought that God would use me in that way. But at the same time, I think that's the people that God chooses to use are the ones that say, I'm going to humble myself. I'm just see how far God takes it. I'm just going to see how much God can use me. And the Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And again, what do we do with that extra, with that energy that we have that we want to spend on the things that don't matter, on the corruptible? What do we do with that passion that we want to waste when we get angry, when we get frustrated? And the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, for the gospel's sake, so that by all means, some might be saved, for the gospel's sake. How do we do that? And the last little thing I want to leave with you, come boldly before the throne of grace. Again, we humble ourselves before God. That doesn't mean when we humble ourselves, that just means we look at ourselves in a way of, I never thought that God could use me the way he's used me. And I'm so thankful for that, that God gives me boldness to approach him and say, you know, I never saw this much, but I want to ask for more. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. What has the power in your life? Where is your passion directed to? What people are you looking for? Who needs Jesus in your life? If you're having trouble seeing that, then I go back to where we started. Paul talked about a life of self-denial. I haven't given up as much as the Apostle Paul gave up. I have more to start with than he imagined. But what is in the way tonight? What do you need to deny so you can see the people that need God? So you can see the passion for lost souls that should be in your life? What needs some more power in your life? What needs to be magnified? As I looked at the pictures this week, as I looked through the directory, and I thought, for that one, for the gospel's sake, what would I be willing to do? For that one, for the gospel's sake, what would I be willing to do? And again, I was convicted. I was convicted over the things that I permit in my life that distract me, over the things that I allow to take up my time and my energy that are not going to matter, are very corruptible, are not going to matter, because for the gospel's sake, I've put some of my passion into something that's not going to last. And on a personal level, if you get to be around these kids, the kids up here singing this morning in junior choir, and again, just a beautiful picture of energy and passion and excitement and something that we all need. But if you look in each one of those kids' faces and say, what am I not willing to give up because their soul is not worthy of the gospel? For the gospel's sake, what am I still holding on to because that one's not worth it? Now look at my own kids when they're asleep and they're cuddly and they're cute. when you hold your child in your arm and say, is there something that's between me and God that's more important for the gospel's sake? What am I not denying myself that's preventing me from giving the gospel, from being honest with my own kids, being honest with the ones that God has entrusted me to lead, to influence, to instruct? What's in the way tonight? And God has given you an enormous amount of passion. He's given you an enormous amount of energy. But he's given you the choice with how you spend it, where you spend your time, where you choose to direct your love, and where you choose to direct your expression of that love. I appreciate so much people being encouraging and telling me they're praying for me. Kelly said when she looked in the bulletin and didn't see a title, she said an extra prayer for me tonight. But that love and passion and prayer, is there something in the way tonight? Is there something preventing you from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you able to be all things to all men? Or is there something in the way? And tonight I want to challenge each of us with that. As you look at these kids, as you look at the people that God has blessed you with in your life, don't let that energy go to waste. Don't let, for the gospel's sake, don't let it pass away. So let's have a word of prayer. We're having an invitation. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for what you already did for us, for your passion on the cross, for your willingness to go through the pain and the suffering to give us a home in heaven. Thank you so much for dying on the cross, for rising again, for all that you did do and all that you chose to give up and all that you denied yourself by coming to earth, by becoming the sacrifice for us. Thank you for the examples all throughout the Bible. Thank you for the examples of this people in this church that have given up much so their family could see the gospel, so their family could see Jesus working in their life. I pray, Lord, if there's anything tonight that we have not, we have permitted, that we should not have permitted in our life, that we put it out of the way before, because for the gospel's sake, it's not worth it. For eternity's sake, it's not worth a corruptible time of enjoyment here on earth. It's not worth all of eternity for that. I pray, Lord, that something said in the testimonies and the song and the sermon tonight, something read from your word, would touch a heart and challenge us as we take the gospel to someone this week. I ask to bless the invitation, help us to honor you in all that we do. I ask this in your name. Amen.